Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Greater Than Podcast. My name is Elijah Merle. Listen, Spirit Wind Conference, the Thursday morning session, I did the Head and Shoulders message that you guys would have heard, about 2 months ago, early in May. And this message was right after that one, Thursday night, by Dustin Martin. Oh, what a powerful message it was. And by the end of this message, I think all you guys are going to be able to conclude and all you guys are going to be able to say is, that's fire. Enjoy.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet again. Let's lift our hands, our voices. Father, we magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank you, Jesus, that your name is the name above every other name. At the name of Jesus, cancer has to bow its knee. At the name of Jesus, every sickness and disease must bow its name. I thank you that, Father God, as we minister your word tonight, that there is a healing anointing. Father God, your word says you sent your word and you healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. God, I thank you right now for the healing anointing, that anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes. I thank you, Jesus, that there is a theme of liberty in this house. Oh, I thank you, God, just as we sang tonight, every chain is broken. Every chain, every addiction, everything that would try to hold you captive, everything that would try to hold you back from fulfilling the purpose and the destiny that is on your life. I declare and decree tonight that freedom is yours. You'll walk in it, you'll live in it, and you'll begin to rise to the new level that God has appointed you to. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it tonight, God. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you, Father, for your spirit that is in this place. Not just the omnipresence, but the manifested presence of Jesus. Ooh, we thank you that you're filling this room here tonight. Those watching online, as they're in their living rooms, wherever they are, I thank you, Father God, there's a tangible presence of Jesus. I thank you for it right now, Father. I thank you that this is not a time for spectating. This is not a time just to be entertained. But Father God, this is a strategic time of being equipped. Oh Lord, there's such an urgency right now in my spirit for the body of Christ. That we will rise and rally. As Isaiah chapter 6 says, that we would arise. Arise, 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 and let the glory of the Lord be seen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We magnify you. We exalt the name of Jesus, and we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for what will be said. Father, I thank you that my heart overflows with a good theme as I recite my composition concerning you, my sir, the King. As I speak, Father God, you make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that it all write upon the tablets of men's hearts. That, God, we would not just be hearers of your word, but we would be actively doing that which we've heard. And we magnify you and we give you honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. As you're seated tonight, you may be seated if you'd like. I had this scripture in my heart, and I just want to read this to you. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 and verse 20. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Watch this, verse 20. Behold, I have received a command to bless. I'm telling you something, there's something about the command. This is not my message. We're gonna take a little commercial break in a minute here, but he said, behold, I have received a command to bless. There's something about the command. There's something about the ability to command something because it comes from a place of authority. Jesus said in John chapter 12, that which I speak, I've received a command from God. And that command is what I speak. It's a command of authority. And there is no authority without submission. It's amazing to me that in Luke chapter 4, it's where Satan talked to Jesus, and he said, if you be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. He understood the power of command. I thought it was interesting in Matthew chapter 14 that when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he spoke and he said, Jesus, if it's you, command me to come. There's something about the command. There's something about when God gives you the word, when God gives you something on the inside to decree, something to speak, something to say, that you command that thing. And when God commands it, I'm here tonight to tell you, it cannot be reversed. And God said here, I love this word right here. He said, behold, I've received a command. It's like the centurion soldier that got Jesus' attention. And he said, if you say the word only. In other words, just give it a command, because I am a man under command. And when I say, they go. I say, come, they come. I understand authority. And Jesus marveled and said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. And there's something about the power of a command. And when God gives you a command, God is saying, I've commanded the blessing on you. The windows of heaven have been opened up upon you. And he said, he has blessed and I cannot reverse it. And I just want to encourage you now. This is just my exaltation to encourage you a little bit here. The devil's trying to lie to you. The devil's trying to sow some doubt into your heart about what God's doing, about what God has spoken, what God has decreed, the vision, the dream that he has planted on the inside of you. But I'm here tonight to say the command has been given. The command has been given, and once it is spoken, once it is decreed, once it has been made clearly made known, it will not be reversed. So whatever the devil's been speaking, whatever the devil's been saying, whatever the devil's been trying to get you to believe, I'm here tonight to tell you, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Hallelujah. And you can just go ahead and begin to rejoice. You can go ahead and begin to give God the honor, the glory, and the praise. Because what he has said, what he has spoken, what he has decreed will come to pass. And it cannot be reversed. Woo, glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, glory, like Elijah said, that's free. Hallelujah. That was just out of the overflow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of y'all glad you're here tonight? Man, it's been good already this whole week. It's just been rich. God has deposited some things on the inside of us. I'll say this for myself. I'm leaving different than the way I came in. Amen. I believe there's been some divine appointments and connections. I've been pushed a little bit. God will put things on the inside of you, and if you're not big enough or man enough to step out and do it, he'll get people around you to push you into it. Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So I've been pushed this week, and I like that in a good way. I normally wouldn't take the pulpit time here to do anything for selfish gain, but I do want to take a quick moment and just make this announcement. If anybody's looking for a fog machine or a lightly used cart, I will be selling them out back here this evening, so I'll make you a good deal, I guarantee you. First come, first serve, though. OBO, OBO. Or better offer. Here we go. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. That rose up in my spirit while Elijah was preaching this morning. That was such a good word, brother. I enjoyed it. How many of y'all got your Bibles tonight? Anybody got your Bibles? Go ahead and raise them up. Make the devil mad, Jesus glad. Hallelujah. You can take them electronic or paperback. Go ahead and just stick them under your chair. We won't be using those tonight. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We're going to use it tonight for sure. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn if you will to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, the title of my message, if you're a title person, a note taker, is That's Fire. Somebody say, That's Fire. That's fire. Luke chapter 3 and verse 15. It says this. Now as the people were in expectation. This is not my message, but I got to say this. In the Williams New Testament, it says this. While the people were on tiptoe in their expectation. How many of y'all know the expectation in your heart is the breeding ground for miracles? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for or the expectation of. There's something that happened when there's an expectation of what God is doing. And I just wanted to throw that in there. But they were expecting an all response in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. Verse 16, John answered saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Somebody say, that's fire. That's fire. This baptism that John was speaking of here would cleanse and change a life. It is what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 speaks about, that if any man be in Christ, in the anointed one, that he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. One translation, he becomes a new species of being that never existed before. Something brand new, something that has been completely remade. The baptism would cleanse and change a life, giving new power, everybody say power, new power to live for God and deal, listen to this, and deal with every issue that hinders love and passion from burning in their hearts. Somebody say, that's fire. That's fire. It's a new life given with new power to live for God and deal with every issue. I was in India with a good friend of mine, Joey, in the year 2000. We were there for 3 months. And while we were there, one of the things that Joey was the leader of this mission trip. So he told me, you've got to bring the John G. Lake book of his Messages and Sermons. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this book, but it's not a pocket size edition. This sucker's like, I had to rent somebody just to carry it for me. I mean, I was like, Joey, really? Like 3 months, we got this thing in our backpack. But we had that book, and then the other one that I carried nonstop was the E.W. Kenyon's book, Two Kinds of Righteousness. And it talked about in these books about becoming the devil's master. To the degree to where you become master over the circumstances that he brings to try to hinder you and stop you from fulfilling the purpose and destiny that God has for your life. You become a master of the kingdom of darkness, where it doesn't have the ability to rule and to reign and to manipulate and to control your life. You begin to stand in a position of authority. I wish I could go through the book of John, where every miracle that Jesus did was an illustration of Jesus becoming a master over circumstances, a master over the situations that he encountered. He was a master because of this new power to live for God, to deal with every issue. I believe that there has to become a renewing of our mind to where when we walk out the front door, when we walk into the streets of our cities, that we're not walking and identifying, if you will, as the woman with the issue of blood that's trying to get something from Jesus, but rather we have identified with Jesus, he as he is, because my Bible says, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. Do y'all hear tonight? That I'm walking in the streets, not because of who I am, but because of this new life and this new power that God has deposited and placed on the inside of me to deal with every issue. It consumes this fire that he baptizes us with. It consumes inconsistencies, instability, and unreliability. It does not destroy, but yet it purifies. In other words, in turn, it produces consistency, stability, and reliability. Why? Because it's not by might, it's not by power. It's by the Spirit of God. It's about the new power, the fire that I've been baptized with that changes me from the inside out. In Acts chapter 2, I want to read this out of the Passion's translation. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to start on verse 1. Listen to this. On the day of Pentecost, was being fulfilled, all disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house. From out of the heavenly realm, the roar of the wind, come on, Spirit Wind Conference, the roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It was separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped. Come on, it changes your life. There's something that happens when the Spirit of God is placed in you, on you. It equips you. It mobilizes you. It causes you to go up to another level where you're no longer just a mere man. There's something that is placed on the inside of you. Each one of them, they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned before. In verse 2, it speaks about, and it, the Holy Spirit, filled the whole house. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6 speaks that you are the house of God, that you are His house, and that it filled the whole house. This Greek word is the word, I'm going to give it a shot here. P-L-E-R-O-O. Pleroo. All right. Hooked on phonics work for me. Here we go. The Greek word pleroo meaning inward filling. It filled the whole house. The inward filling. But if you jump down to verse 4, in this Greek word, the plethro, P-L-E-T-H-O, meaning an outward feeling or furnished and equipped for service. Come on, somebody say, that's fire. That's fire. There was an inward feeling, but then there was an outward feeling. Where have we seen this? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. That was for him. And with power, that was for somebody else who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. See, there's something that there. I believe in this time that we're living in right now, and I believe we're in a strategic time as the body of Christ. There is a time of rising and rallying. There's a time that we've been dispersed. Maybe we've been quarantined for a while, but now it's time that we come back. It's time that we come back and that we rise up and we begin to be the church that God has called us to be. It's time for us to allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn on the inside and begin to not act as if we are those that are without, that we're lacking, that we're insignificant and insufficient, but rather that there is a fullness, there is a full supply of everything that is needed in this life inside of us, and it's bubbling, it's wanting to work, it's wanting to be released into the lives of the people we come in contact with. It doesn't need to be dammed up. Come on, we don't need to be damned Christians. Come on, somebody. All right, get out of here for cussing. But it doesn't need to be dammed up. It needs to be released. There's an inward feeling, but then there's an outward feeling or a furnishing and equipping for service. I think it's so important that we get our minds on that idea that I'm equipped. I've got what it takes. John chapter 1 in verse 16 it says, and of his fullness. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. If we jump over to Colossians chapter 1. In verse 19 it says, for it pleased the Father that in him, in who? In Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. There's something about knowing that there is a reservoir by the Holy Spirit that is on the inside of you that is able to supply anything that is needed. The devil wants you to think that you don't have enough, that you're not equipped, you don't have what it takes to get the job done. But I'm telling you, you're not alone on this assignment. You haven't been sent without there being an adequate resource deposited on the inside of you, so that when you arrive up on the scene, when you step into the room, that it's not you but God in you that changes the atmosphere of that room, because it's fire that's been shut up in my bones. There's a fire, there's a resource, there is a fullness that's living on the inside of me. I get so passionate about this because I can just see and hear the devil wanting to belittle and squash. So you just get this mentality: I'm glad that I'm going to heaven. And oh, what a day it'll be when we get there. But right now, in the nasty here and now, I'm just going to have to put up. I'm just going to have to shut up and sit down and take it. But I want you to know there's something living on the inside of you. And it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And it'll quicken you. And it'll strengthen you. Shh, come on. Y'all are making me preach too hard up in this place. My goodness. Whoosh. Hallelujah. But there's something big on the inside of you. There's more than enough living on the inside of you. James, Acts chapter 4, in verse 31. And it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken." Come on, Pastor. Preaching that this morning. "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." This boldness involves more than just confidence. It was a free, flowing, unrestrained boldness. Also means freedom of speech. There was a flow. There's a freedom of speech and that just began to flow out of them. It was like this, as I was studying this and thinking about this. It's like the person, do you ever talk to somebody that speaks before they think? I mean, they're just talking and you're like, "I don't know if you should have said that. I maybe would have said it a little bit different." But in this case, it's from the heart and tailored to make everyone, it's not tailored to make everyone happy, but to speak the truth in spite of human opinion. They asked God, "Give us boldness to speak something that would bring about change in the lives of people, even if they don't want to hear it." Freedom of speech. The Bible tells us that the fear of human opinion is a trap, or it disables. But trust in God protects you from that. "Give us boldness that we may speak your word." A boldness involves more than confidence. A free-flowing, unrestrained boldness. To do what? To speak the truth. To say something that God would have you say that would bring about a change in the life of somebody. We said about a minute ago, the theme of liberty. We know that the Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you the free. Truth is the state of being constant, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Being able to show somebody who God is and his plan for their life. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 says in the Passion Translation, Paul reminds Timothy, "I'm writing to encourage you to fan into flame and rekindle, excite and awake the fire of the spiritual gift God imparted to you when I laid my hands upon you." What's he talking about? He's talking about that new power to live for God and deal with every issue that hinders love and passion from burning in your hearts. Paul is reminding this young preacher here that you need to keep that flame. You need to keep that fire burning on the inside of you and not allow it to dwindle, not allow it to become put out in your life. Why? Because it's required for the life that you're living. To excite, awake the fire of the spiritual gift God's imparted to you when I laid my hands on you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, the New King James Bible says, not lagging in diligence, watch this, fervent in spirit serving the Lord. I like the Passion Translation. I've been reading that a lot, as you can tell. It says, keeping your passion towards Him boiling hot. Ooh, come on, somebody. Stepped in the shower. It was a little too hot. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? But God says, keep it boiling hot, radiant with the glow of the Holy Spirit, and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Ooh, come on, somebody. God wants you out doing His will, but not in and of yourself. He wants you to allow the Holy Spirit to be boiling hot, radiant on the inside, glowing so that you can, He can fill you with the excitement as you're serving Him. Ooh, come on, somebody. Anybody said living for Jesus was born hadn't met Jesus. Hadn't had an experience with the Holy Spirit. The Message Bible says in Romans 12, 11 says, don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. The James Moffat translation says this. I like this. Maintain the glow. My mama used to be a part of a group. So Women Aglow. Anybody? Remember Women Aglow? No? All right. Hallelujah. Well, sometimes you swing and a miss. But maintain the glow. I want to encourage you tonight, guys. Maintain the glow. Maintain the Holy Spirit in your life. I'll give you some practical ways to do that or how to not allow the fire to go out. But I want you to know tonight that God wants the fire of the Holy Spirit big on the inside of you. Where there's a confidence, there's a boldness, there's a change in the way you walk. There's a change in the way you talk. Not because you're trying to impress, not because you're trying to get it noticed, but because there's something living on the inside of you. And you're like Jesus that says, I'm just about my Father's business. I'm going out to do something because, listen, the sky's going to crack and Jesus is going to call us all home. And I want you to know I'm not going to be sitting idle. I want to be busy. I want to be doing what God's called me to do. And when He blows a trumpet, I'll be ready, but I will not be standing idle. I'm going to be doing what He's called me to do, releasing the fire of the Holy Ghost, seeing people's lives changed. Woo, come on, somebody. I always think of that song by Milo Lefevre, Come On and Crack the Sky for Me. You remember that? I used to love that song growing up. So cool to see him all the time. Now he's on Believer's Voice of Victory preaching. That's cool. Don't let the fire go out in your life. This simple message tonight. My preaching is making it more exciting than it probably really is. But there's something on the inside. I'm about to read some things to you tonight. But I don't know how else to say this, but there's a strategic. We're in a season. We're in a moment of time where the day of question is upon us, where people are literally saying, where is the promise of the Father? And if we're not watchful, we'll become lackadaisical and idle Christians that think that what God says won't come to pass, that what He said is not going to happen in our generation. But I'm here tonight to tell you, it's not the time to grow cold. It's not the time to grow idle. It's time to get on fire for God. Allow the Holy Spirit to be active and alive on the inside of you and begin to see lives changed for the glory and the honor of God. It's now's the time. Don't let the fire go out. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Let me read it to you. Y'all still glad you came tonight? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. I'm still learning how to use the electronic thing. I haven't gone paperless yet. You know what I'm saying? I still like the papers. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Now, let me just read out of my Bible. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 17, it says this: therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is God's will for our lives? What is God, how does God want you living? In verse 18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or an act of selfish indulgence. Watch this, but be filled with the Spirit. I like how it says the Amplified, be being filled with the Spirit. It's a continuation, a constant awareness and a stirring of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Be being filled with the Spirit. We've heard it, we know it, but I'm here today to put you in remembrance of it, that the Spirit of God that's living on the inside, we need to fan the flame. We need to stir it up on the inside and keep it alive and active. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13, and the New King James Bible says, a fire shall always, somebody say always, a fire shall always be burning on the altar, and it shall never go out. There's a fire on the altar of your heart. There's a fire on the altar of your life. And I want to encourage you tonight, don't let the fire go out. Don't let that fire that doesn't, it consumes, but it does not destroy. It replenishes and it rebuilds and it restores your life to the newness that the Spirit of God has intended it to be. There's newness of life. That fire, don't let it ever go out. It shall never go out. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm wrapping up right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 16. I want to ask you this question. Can the Holy Spirit do what He wants, when He wants, how He wants in your life? Can the Holy Spirit do what He wants, how He wants, and when He wants in your life? When the fire's burning, when the fire's been stirred up on the inside, there's a sensitivity to the things of God to where all there has to be is a little nudge, a little whisper, and there's a confidence, there's a boldness where you're not out to hurt somebody, but my goodness, you'll speak the word of God. You'll lay hands on the sick. You're not intimidated. You're not worried about what somebody will think or say. Why? Because there's a something living on the inside. I remember I was in Walmart in New Braunfels, Texas, and I preached. I was on staff at a church there, so people knew me, and I also preached at this Bible study, and so people knew me from there. And I was walking in Walmart, walking down the aisle, and this lady stopped me. She said, "Oh, Brother Dustin, Brother Dustin." I said, "How you doing?" You know, and you know, she said, "Oh, my knee, it's been hurting. I just asked that you pray for me. Just keep me in your prayers." Well, I've been trained and I've been told that if I don't pray for you right there, it's probably not going to happen. Can we be honest? I'll pray for you. God bless you, brother. You turn around, you're grabbing your milk and your eggs. You ain't thought twice about that knee. And I said, I'd love to pray for you. I dropped down on one knee just like Elvis would right there. Come on, somebody. And I began to speak the name of Jesus. I took authority over arthritis, ligaments, tissues, commanded every cell, organ, and tissue to function. And she's standing there, you know, she's looking around. Hey, how you doing? I don't know what's going on. I'm taking care of business. Why? There's something burning. There's a fullness on the inside of me. I jumped up, glory to God, it's done, hallelujah, amen, it's your, okay, praise God, you know, we'll see you next time, man. Maybe she'll be a little hesitant next time she asks me to pray for her, but that's all right, we're taking care of business in TCB right there in Walmart, I ain't got time to wait, well, I don't know sense in her limping out the store when she could be skipping and hopping saying, I've been delivered, I don't know, I was lame, but now I'm walking, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. So 1 Thessalonians 5, look at this. I'm going to start in verse 16. It says, rejoice always. Rejoicing is the illustration or the expression of the fruit of the Spirit, joy in your life. Joy rejoices always. 17, pray without ceasing or maintain your constant contact with God. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Look at verse 19. This is what I want to get into real quick. Do not quench the Spirit. There's a fire living on the inside of you. Paul said, fan it into flame, maintain the glow. There's something that has been deposited, something that God has given to you. It filled the house that was on you. It's for you. But then there was something that was placed for those around you, for the act of service, for every situation that you would come up against. And yet the Bible gives us this warning, quench not the Spirit. How do you keep the fire burning, and how do you maintain the glow and not allow the Spirit in your life to be quenched? This word quench simply means to choke out or to suffocate. To choke out or to suffocate, to put the fire out. Number one, if you're taking notes, every good preacher has at least 3 points. Here we go. Number one, smother it. In other words, too much too soon. If you're building a fire and you don't start with the kindling and allow it to begin to burn and then put a little bit more on and then put a little bit more on and put a little bit. If you just throw the big log on it, it just smothers it and it suffocates. It's too much too soon. It's busy. Now, I love the word busy. We need to get busy. But I think that's the problem with the English language. A word can have multiple meanings and you're saying the same thing. So there's a good side. We need to get busy. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to hustle. You know, all the words you want to say. We need to be active. But there's also this indication where we begin to get so busy that we begin to try to believe that our activity is actually going to produce something. I like what Mario Murillo said a long time ago when I was in a meeting of his. He said that busy, an acronym for busy, is being under Satan's yoke. You get so busy that you're trying to produce something, and when you don't even realize it, that, man, we've done this outreach, and man, we've done this, and we've gone over here, and we're doing that, and what we don't even realize is that we're suffocating the fire that's been placed on the inside of us. Luke chapter 10, look at this, Luke chapter 10. This is probably one of my favorite stories in the Bible. In Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, y'all know this. This is Mary and Martha. It says, now it happened as they went that Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she said, and she had a sister called Mary, watch this, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Where was she sitting at? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. I like in Luke chapter 8, after Jesus cast out the devils out of the madman of Gadara, the Bible says that he was clothed and in his right mind doing what? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. I want you to know tonight, listen folks, if you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, you cannot be in your right mind. You're not going to think right, which means if you're not thinking right, then you're not going to talk right. And if you're not talking right, then you're beginning to speak and say things that are crippling your destiny rather than giving life to it. Why? Because I need to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. I like the Amplified Bible says in Luke 10 verse 40, it says, but Martha overly occupied and too busy. She was distracted with much serving. I think as our good brother Jeremy Persis said, distracted people distract people. Distracted people distract people. What are they doing? What's going on? They're trying to quench the Spirit, the fire of God that is in your life. I like this statement too. Ministry is a poor substitute for intimacy. Ministry is a poor substitute for intimacy. I'm big on spending time with God. You go through my prayer journals and the different times that I've written and I've hang out with God. And there's a common theme that just keeps coming back up where God says, Dustin, your time in the Word and your time in prayer must increase. I'm about to say something, and I don't say it to hurt or belittle a pastor. I say it to help us. But I remember talking on the phone with a minister, and he said, man, what are you up to? I said, man, I'm reading and praying. And he said, man, I wish I had time to do that. And I'm telling you, just that quick, you know how it is, God will speak to you. And just that quick, he said, if he don't, he won't have a ministry. I didn't say that, but that's what came up in my spirit. And again, I'm not saying that to hurt him. I love him. My desire is to help them. But what I'm also trying to get us to see is that intimacy has to become priority in our lives. Why? Because it is what causes the fire to burn on the inside. I like how it says it distracted. Martha was distracted. She was pulled from the one thing that really mattered. Jesus answered and said to Martha in verse 4, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Verse 42 says, but one thing is needed. Everybody say one thing. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. You go back to Mark chapter 4. The way you measure the word is the way that it'll be measured back to you. In other words, that the value that you place upon the word of God. Can I say it this way? The value that you place upon the breath of God that fans the flame in your life will be to the degree that it burns with fervent heat in your life. Because it says in John chapter 20 and verse 22 that Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It says that all scripture is God breathed. The breath of the Almighty is living in the Word of God. And the time that we spend basking at the feet of Jesus, reading the Word and allowing it to renew our mind and wash over our lives, it causes the fire to burn, the embers to be fanned, and there to be a stirring on the inside of us, where all of a sudden the impossibilities of life begin to wane and fade, and that belief system rises on the inside that says, "Woo! All things are possible. All things are possible." So we don't allow ourselves to get too busy, too quick, too soon, getting under the restrictions of the enemy and smother out the fire. Number two, how do you stop a fire? You contain it. You contain it. In other words, there's no access into your life. You trench it in. In other words, there's no ability for it to spread. Pastor Ray Jean could probably help us out with wildfires that happen in California, where it's almost like the blaze is uncontainable. It can't be stopped. And everybody's just on pins and needles like, man, we need a change in the wind. We need a change in the weather. We need some rain up in this place. Why? Because it's burning and taking acres at a time. But remember, the fire of God does not consume in destruction. The fire of God is something that replenishes and restores. And when it begins to burn, when it begins to flame, it begins to cause there to be an awakening and a revival of the Spirit of God in our lives. And yet the devil would want you to contain it. He would want you to give it no access into your life. God, you're allowed in the living room. God, you're allowed in this part of the house. But God, you're not allowed in here. Come on, somebody. Your kids, it won't happen in my house. It's just, if your kids do this, no. Hey, you do what you do. But, having a sign on your door that says, stay out. Brother, I pay the rent in this house. You know what I'm saying? If I want to come in there, daddy's going to walk up in there. Might be like the jail. We may flip some beds and do a quick search. No, I'm just kidding. I ain't going to be like that. Or will I? No, I'm just kidding. But there's some people that have that containment where they give no access to the Spirit of God in their lives. And they don't even realize that when they're caught doing that access, that they're denying the fire of God to burn. They trench it in. They give it no access. No, they don't allow it to spread. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, you guys know the scripture. It says, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. We know this, that we've used this scripture for bringing people, the lost people, to Christ. And I love it. It works so well that Jesus is standing there and he's knocking. But you have to remember that in these scriptures, he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the church. Which is hard to wrap your mind around, that there's a church or there's a group of people that have heard the word and have asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. And yet God, by the Spirit of God, is not allowed in their house. Because if you study it out, the Bible talks about that he stands at the door and he knocks. And if any man will open up, he'll come in and he'll sup with them. The eating of this is not like American culture where we're sitting prim and proper. Yes, thank you, pass the bread. This is this idea of lounging, and there's this intimacy. That's why when the Bible says that John laid on the breast of Jesus, it's a different type of eating. It's a different type of eating supper together. It was an intimate time. It was not a rushing time. We're not eating a 5-minute microwavable meal. This was something that was cultivated and made by hand so that there could be a time of intimacy and conversation could be had. Of going in and having this time of access together. And God says that when there's access, that when there's this time of intimacy, the fire will not be contained, but it will burn and it will spread and it'll cause a wildfire to break out. Last but not least, number three. Number one, you smother it. Number two, you contain it. These are things that stop the fire of God or quench the moving of the Spirit. Number three, you neglect it. This is probably one of the biggest ones. You neglect it. There's no intimacy. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20 says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Listen to this statement. This is kind of crazy, but it's true. You don't have to commit adultery to ruin a marriage. Just neglect it. Just neglect it. Don't do the things that you did in the beginning stages of pursuing that individual. What happens when you neglect it? The fire goes out. I like 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Let me read it to you because sometimes I get it backwards. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, last chapter of the book, last verse of the book. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the love of God. Watch this. And the communion, or I like this, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The fire of God. That consuming fire of God that is on the altar that shall never go out. We need to keep it. We need to keep it ablaze on the inside. Jude 1:20 says that you build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Spending time praying in the Holy Spirit. You can begin to see why the devil has fought the church so much on tongues and trying to get people to kind of push back from it. Maybe not completely reject it, but kind of just say, that might be good for you, but we're gonna step back. And yet it was the thing that Jesus said. He said, before you do anything, you need to wait for the Holy Spirit. For when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be endued with power. It's keeping that revelation, keeping that revelation of the power of God stirred up and in a blaze on the inside of you. Our good buddy that I had the honor of meeting this with, Brother Chris Jacobs, kept talking about this prophecy by Kenneth E. Hagin that he gave in 1963. And a while back, I went online and just found all the PDFs of some of these prophecies. And I put them in my thing because I love what I things God tells me, people other. The first of the year is one of my favorite times of year. Everybody comes out with what God's telling them. The year's going to, 21 is going to be a year of this. You know, I'm like, glory to God, I'm taking that down. I love it. But I look at these words, and I want you to hear this. I'm going to read quite a bit, but I want you to hear some of the things that I've preached tonight, some of the things that have been spoken in this conference. I want you to hear what God was speaking to us years ago that I believe are beginning to manifest in this time and in this age. It's remarkable. Which just needs to get us, this is the word God gave me for 2021, amongst other things. He said the year 2021 will be a year of application. We've been given so much resource. We've been given so much word through the years. And we could go through the different movements, the charismatic renewal, the healing, the teaching, these different seasons that God has done, the teaching of faith. And people say the faith movement's over. Let me tell you something. Faith is not a movement, because a movement is a period of time. And God did not say that man shall live by a period of faith in this moment. But man shall live by, does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why? Because the just live by faith. So listen to these words. For there came a dark hand up out of the ocean from the east, even from the Atlantic Ocean. It came up out of the east as a hand, and as it rose up into the air, it became a dark cloud, and it filled the whole atmosphere. Yea, it swept like a storm at sea. And I said, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, what means this? What is the meaning of this? And he spoke unto me and said, son, this is the darkness of the atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation, even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. This nation shall not grow more strong, and you shall not have more liberty than you have now. But liberties that you've known, you've seen, shall be seized and taken from you. And I looked again, and I could see upon the mountain a blotch, as though a bottle of ink had been spilled and spread over several states in the south and east. And then I looked, and I could see spots, splotches all over the map. And I said, Lord, what is the meaning of this? And he said, communistic inspire hatred among races shall cause greater turmoil than your nation has seen theretofore. Yea, it is not the will of God, but men's hearts are perverse, and they walk without the love of God and seek to have their own way. And so it shall be worse than you have seen. And I said, oh Lord, oh Lord, is there a remedy? Is there a remedy? What shall be the answer? And then he said, oh Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except darkness and the blackness, war, destruction, and evil? And he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And he said, son of man, forget not your text. Come on, forget not the word, for you look at the things not seen. And so then I looked into the spirit realm, and I saw falling upon the mountain a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to the earth, the bigger it got. Then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls of sparks of fire, and it fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up. Come on. And it seemed as though their hands were fire, and there sat upon the heads a tongue of fire. And I said, what is this meaning? What is the meaning of this? And he said, before the worst shall come and the day of darkness encompasses, there will be those who shall go, who shall carry the fullness of my truth and the fire. Not only the states of this nation, but to other places. For there is a work that must be done first spiritually before the Lord shall come. Now prepare ye your hearts, for the time is at hand and the beginning is now. And you shall see and you shall know, for the hand of the Lord is upon you. And many of you shall be used in these last days, and the work shall progress. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Man, I just hope that that stirs something on the inside, because I like what Brother Hagin said. He was like, man, is there anything to look forward to? But there's something I want you to hear. Greater is he that is all in you than he that is in the world. And I'm telling you, this is our time. This is our season for the fire of God to rest upon us, to live big on the inside of us, that we're not intimidated by the stage of what is being set up for the end time. But we rise up and we allow the fire of God to live big on the inside of us. And we finish strong in this season, in this hour. We finish strong in this season, in this hour. I'm done with this. Let me say this. Anytime that you're playing basketball and you're down at the last few minutes, you don't put in your worst players. You don't put in the third string that you're just hoping he knows how to dribble. You get the guy off the bench that can hit the free throw when he's fading back and it swishes at the buzzer. I'm here tonight to tell you, you're in the last minutes of time, and God's chosen you on the team to be in the season to where just before the buzzer goes off, you're fading back and you're making a swish. Why? Because there's a spirit, there's a fire living on the inside of you. Woo! Glory be to God. Y'all stand up with me. Hallelujah. Father, we magnify you. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the fire of God. We thank you for a kindling, awakening, a stirring of the Spirit, Father God. A fresh fire on the inside of us, burning, 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 Father God, to do your will, to accomplish what you would have us do in these last days. Oh, we magnify you, Jesus. We magnify you. Oh, we thank you for it. God, I thank you for a fresh fire. I thank you for a fresh fire in this church. And I thank you, Father God, that people that darken this door, God, as we had spoken already, that there's a residue that will be that's been here and that will remain here because of these services. That, God, that people will come in and say, woo, what'd y'all do this week? What'd y'all do this week? And that there would be a stirring. There would be a passion. There would be a kindling of the fire of God. Oh, God, that we're not playing games. We're focused. We're not distracted or pulled from the assignment. But God, we're keeping ourselves stirred up. We're keeping ourselves burning on the inside, that we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. God, that we recommit. We recommit the passion to do what you've called us to do, God. No more excuses. No more delay, no more, what's the word? Procrastination. Oh God, that there would be an awakening to the body of Christ. The God, that the yearning and the passion, although that, Father, there's things that are moving in this world, that the stage for the end time events are being set up right now, that, Father God, we would not be distracted, we would not be pulled from what we're called to do. That, Father God, just as they did in Acts chapter 4, that, Father God, that we would pray in the places that we are would be shaken with your glory, with your power, and that, God, that there would be great boldness placed on the inside of us to speak the word of God, that signs and wonders would follow. We thank you for it, that you would receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, we glorify you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we magnify you.
Man, I don't know about you, but that message, man, that was fire. I told you, you guys are going to be blessed and encouraged by what Dustin Martin brought to the table, man. What an amazing time. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Every session, man, we just came up higher and had more and more revelation. I'm excited for next week for you guys to hear from Micah Herbert, the last session of Spirit Wind Conference 2021. But until then, remember this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.